Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Live Nation presents Concert Week.
From now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 summer shows.
That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage,
Alanis Morissette,
Cage the Elephant,
Celeste Barber,
Dierks Bentley,
Janet Jackson,
Meghan Trainor,
Peso Pluma,
Sean Paul,
Sum 41, and many more.
For way less.
Grab your tickets now through May 14th to see all of the artists you love all summer long.
For just $25 each.
Visit LiveNation.com/concertweek to buy now.
That's LiveNation.com/concertweek to buy now.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio's How Stuff Works.
Welcome back to the show. My name is Matt.
My name is Noel.
They call me Ben. We are joined, as always, with our super producer, Paul, Mission Control Deck, and most importantly, you are you. You are here, and that makes this Stuff They Don't Want You to Know an update episode. We're going topical. You know?
Yeah, we are.
We're working with live fire. This peek behind the curtain, we typically record or endeavor to record a few weeks in advance of publication date, mainly because stories can change pretty rapidly in these modern times of ours. And this episode, as a result of that, this episode may include information that becomes outdated or needs an update. But for right now, we're going to give you the straight poop, as they probably say somewhere in Minnesota, on an unfolding event. Does anybody else remember when WikiLeaks was a daily headline? Didn't matter where you turned, everything was WikiLeaks, right?
Yeah, and especially it had a bit of a resurgence there for a while, mm-hmm, when the presidential election was happening in 2016, when that name started being bandied about again. Mm-hmm. But it goes way back to 2010, roughly, when it was very, very popular.
Right, right. And it was around even before then. It was founded in Iceland in 2006. And despite the fact that you don't hear about it as much as you did in 2010 and 2016, it's still soldiering along. Today's story is not about WikiLeaks, however. If you want to learn about WikiLeaks, you can go look at their own website, which is still up.
Right? Yeah. And we do have an old series of videos on it.
That's right, which gets the gist of what it is.
Yeah.
You know, but not the recent greatest hits. Instead, today, we are exploring the recent misadventures of WikiLeaks founder, the infamous and somewhat Targaryen-looking Julian Assange.
Oh, he is a little Targaryen.
I don't want to body shame. I think Targaryens look really cool, but he looks like one.
He's more like the kind of like platinum blonde, blue-eyed kind of vibe, right?
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of it. It's changed. It's changed significantly.
Yeah, being grounded for years will do that. But Julian Assange, this name is familiar to us. If you're listening to this show, it is almost certainly not the first time you've heard this name. But let's learn a little bit about the guy behind the moniker. Who is Julian Assange?
Well, for that, we have to go all the way back to 1971, to a place called Townsville, Australia.
Isn't that where Chemical X was created, then created the Powerpuff Girls?
Oh, my goodness.
The mayor of Townsville? Doesn't ring any bells?
Because of my lack of Powerpuff information, I will say yes.
Okay, and I appreciate you taking my word for it, but this is a different Townsville.
Well,
Please carry on. In
Townsville in 1971, Julian Assange was birthed as a baby. He came into this world, and he didn't have any documents with him, but he was given his first documents very soon after that, proving that he was, in fact, born. And this is a gentleman who grew up. He really enjoyed computers. He was good at them. He ended up hacking into the databases of several organizations that we would consider high profile.
Sure. Corporations.
I love that.
Countries, governments. In 2006, he said, you know, I should take this to a global scale, an international scale. I should take what I'm doing by myself and open it to the world. So he began work on what we call WikiLeaks today. And surprisingly, he pulled it off. He enjoyed a brief and shining moment in the spotlight. Was he a hero speaking truth to power? A coward endangering lives across the planet? A straight-up megalomaniac? He was portrayed as all of these and more in the media, and he earned the coveted Time Magazine's Person of the Year title in 2010.
Also, let's not forget that Person of the Year isn't necessarily an accolade.
It's not a compliment.
No,
it's not necessarily.
It just means you shook some stuff up for better or worse.
Well, yeah, and that's exactly what he was doing. He, you know, that speaking truth to power, I don't know if I necessarily believe that, but I think all of us had moments where the actions of Julian Assange were so striking, of hacking into the places that were hacked or, you know, leaking information that was given to them that really spoke to bad things that were happening within big organizations. And, you know, I think that's why Time did – just what we're talking about, that's why Time did it, because it was so earth-shaking.
Disruptive, for sure.
I mean, genuinely.
Shook the foundations.
Yeah. And he was loved and feared, I think is the right way to put it.
Right. He was indeed. The thing is that WikiLeaks and Assange were dogged by criticism, controversy, and conspiracy theories pretty much since their inception. People would write to us all these years ago and say, well, who do you think's really in charge of WikiLeaks? Is it Russia? Is it the CIA? Is it, you know, Mossad or some other organization? And how impartial are they? Not very, as we would come to find. But 2010, rose and fell. Like some Targaryen Icarus, I guess. He flew too close to the sun of the mass media and classified information from governments and businesses. 2010 is the year everything started to go wrong for Julian Assange. He ended up seeking asylum in Ecuador, technically in Ecuador. Here's how it went down. We've got a timeline. I guess we could call it How to Dodge the Law in Ecuador with an asterisk.
Yeah.
I don't think he's actually been to the country of Ecuador.
Well, it did technically. It's been to the territory.
Sort of like being at the airport in Paris or something like that. Have you really been to Paris?
Mm. Yeah.
You know.
Mm. Well, okay. So here's what I believe is that everything surrounding this situation is about motivation. Motivation behind actions by the U.S. government, motivations of actions behind Julian Assange and WikiLeaks
or his
in general.
Or whatever. Absolutely.
Well, yes, and also of Chelsea Manning.
The Swedish government.
Exactly. All of them together. Like, it's about the intentions and why they're doing what they're doing, right? Mm-hmm. So in April of 2010, that is when Chelsea Manning, by this time, Chelsea Manning has given video and information about an airstrike that occurred in 2007 to WikiLeaks. And in this airstrike, there were more than 10 Iraqis, like civilians, and two journalists that were killed in these airstrikes. Mm-hmm. I cannot remember the name of it, the war tapes or something to this effect. You can find it through WikiLeaks. It was really brutal, and there was a ton of press about this when it came out, and it was very high profile in that regard. Then in May, Chelsea Manning, the person who leaked this stuff to WikiLeaks, mm-hmm. who then leaked it, was arrested for doing that, for leaking it to WikiLeaks.
And in August of that year, trouble was brewing across the Atlantic. Prosecutors from Sweden ordered the arrest of Julian Assange on suspected charges of sexual assault, rape and molestation.
Yes. And this is where the intentions come into play, because you're seeing information on both – or from both sides here that in particularly from WikiLeaks and Julian Assange, that like this was an attempt to extradite Julian Assange to the United States, mm-hmm. right? Get him back to a place or to a place that would extradite him to the United States.
Right. And prosecutors in Sweden issue an international warrant for his arrest. December 2010, he gets arrested by the British police, and the court says, you know what, we're going to grant him bail. And he fights this charge. He is trying to overturn his extradition to Sweden. It doesn't work. It's dismissed in November of 2011. And in August of 2012, so he's got some months on the lam here, August of 2012, he is officially granted asylum at the Ecuadorian embassy in London. That's why we're making a big to-do about calling it technically Ecuador, because the the land of the embassy is technically sovereign soil.
Yeah.
But it's a building.
It's a building.
It's sort of like when the communion wafer is transubstantiated into like the body of Christ or whatever. It's like one of those kind of – it's magical thinking. Magical realism? I don't know.
I think a lot of international affairs hinge on magical realism, you know? Like passports. That's a big thing. Do you know, there's one person who doesn't have to have a passport. It's the Queen of the UK.
Yeah, there you go.
Because the passport's issued in her name.
Well, yeah, there you go. And then she's got the tiara or the crown or whatever the thing is. It's a crown.
It's a very big deal over there.
So in November of that year, this highly publicized event occurs where Julian Assange comes, like he's at the embassy and he goes out on this balcony and he makes a speech there about what he's doing, why he's doing it, what the U.S. government wants to do, makes all of these things public and puts it in his own voice.
And has some stunning hot takes on Crocodile Dundee, both the first one and the sequel.
There you go.
That's what they don't want you to know.
Highly important stuff. But it was the first time anyone had got, or at least the public had seen him since he was seeking asylum 2 months earlier, back in August. And again, like, just remember that timeline. 2010 is when that arrest warrant is first issued. 2 years later, he gets the bail and then ends up in the embassy.
Yeah, and he has been there, right? This is becoming his home. The Stockholm District Court in 2014, while he's still at the embassy, remember, life's going on for everyone else.
Doing some Skyping.
Yeah, he's stuck in this building. They decide that he should remain detained after he requested that they review his detention order. And then in August of 2014, he promised he would leave the embassy soon. Soon is a relative term. Right?
Yes, it really, really is.
Then what happens in 2016?
Well, in 2016, the Ecuadorian government cuts off his internet access. Ugh, that had to have been a death blow for a guy like that. Built his whole life, reputation online, and he's got nothing. He's cut off.
Wait, but why?
Yeah, well, it's because WikiLeaks published her emails. Remember her emails? Yeah. An absolute mother load of Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign emails. The government says it's trying to make sure he can't interfere in the affairs of other countries. Fair, right?
I think that's fair.
We're Ecuador. We're doing you a solid, and world superpowers are really coming down hard on us.
Yeah.
Can you stop making things worse?
I know. You're making us look really bad, Julian Assange.
It's like if I don't know how wild everyone's lives are, but it's like if you are, you know, in your college days and you get in this a dive bar fight, and then it's all because one of your friends is running their mouths and you are somehow single-handedly defending yourself from like and him from like eight people way bigger than you, and the guys in the back going, yeah, kick his ass, tell his mom is also ugly, and you're like, dude, either help me out or shut up. And he's not doing either of those things. So it's without choosing a side and without us actually being in the room, we can say that this on the surface seems like poor house guest behavior.
Yeah, it's also like if a guy staying on your couch just starts peeing on everything.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
We'll see it again because he's just not that great of a tenant.
No, it gets more erratic, and peeing on everything isn't necessarily that far off the mark.
Right, exactly. In November of 2016, he is questioned. Again, within the embassy, he's not leaving the embassy. He is questioned over those sexual assault charges in Sweden. And in April of 2017, Attorney General Jeff Sessions, at the time, who preceded Attorney General Barr, says that arresting Assange is a top priority for the U.S. We want this guy under the jail. Is he going to get mode? I don't know. And it's unfortunate that we live in a world where that can be a verb.
Nobody wants to get mode.
No one wants to get mode.
But then only a month later, Sweden comes out and they're saying, we're dropping all charges against Julian Assange. That's done. We're not going to do this whole extradition thing that he's worried about. Have no fear. We're dropping those charges. And Julian Assange says, well, that's great, but I'm going to stay here just in case.
Right. Because although Sweden has dropped the charges, the UK still has an arrest out for him. And he's like, all right, well, we got Sweden off the list.
Yeah.
Let me see if I can work something out with the United Kingdom. This is unsuccessful. February of 2018, he loses his bid to get them to drop their arrests and charges. And then in March of 2018.
Uh-oh, it's like history's repeating itself.
Right. Ecuador cuts off his communication entirely. Say, look, you just cannot send messages at all. We tried to stop you with the internet stuff. No more. No snail mail, no nothing, because you are, again, dude, you are making the bar fight worse. You are peeing on our geopolitical couch. Stop.
We're going to need you to surrender your pager as well,
because
even that's too much.
Well, yeah, because he said he was sending messages that would interfere with other countries' goings-ons.
That's what they call in the South poking the bear.
Yeah, exactly.
You need to leave that bear alone, especially when you're in our house.
Mm-hmm. And
that's right.
Because the bear's going to come for us.
Mm-hmm. The bears do not discriminate, you know. In October of 2018, Assange decides to sue Ecuador because he doesn't like how they've changed the nature of his asylum. They had recently asked him to start, you know, paying rent, kicking in rent and bills, and to take better care of his cat. That is not made up. Apparently, he was letting the cat run wild. I guess he was above doing kitty litter. I don't know.
Gosh.
They let him have a cat?
They let him have a cat.
What did he have on these poor saps, by the way? I mean, maybe we're going to get there, but why? Why did they put up with all of this?
Well, I mean,
they thought they were defending journalism.
Exactly.
That's the stated claim.
Yeah. Well, is it really worth it, Ecuador, at this point? Good Lord.
That's the question Ecuador is asking. What did they decide to do? We'll tell you after a word from our sponsor.
Live Nation presents Concert Week.
From now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 summer shows.
That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage,
Alanis Morissette,
Cage the Elephant,
Celeste Barber,
Dierks Bentley,
Janet Jackson,
Meghan Trainor,
Peso Pluma,
Sean Paul,
Sum 41, and many more.
For way less.
Grab your tickets now through May 14th to see all of the artists you love all summer long.
For just $25 each.
Visit livenation.com/concertweek to buy now.
That's livenation.com/concertweek to buy now.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Attention, true crime enthusiast. Searching for a way to unwind after diving deep into the mysteries that keep you up at night? Look no further.
Introducing Lazarus Naturals, your trusted companion for CBD relief. With a commitment to transparency, Lazarus Naturals oversees every step from farm to doorstep, ensuring purity and quality you can trust.
Visit LazarusNaturals.com today and discover how CBD can help you decompress and recharge for your next investigation.
That's LazarusNaturals.com.
Lazarus Naturals, your partner in unraveling the mysteries of true crime.
Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
We're back. We're in legal limbo. Ecuador has a problem on their hands, and the rest of the world is champing at the bit to get that problem off of their hands. And this situation, as strange as it might appear, is unfortunately not unique. We have to remember that Edward Snowden, when last we checked, still resides somewhere in Russia and will probably not return to the U.S. within his lifetime.
And there is a real legal and otherwise threat to anyone who leaks, especially highly classified documents from a, you know, let's say a giant military, one of the biggest, the biggest, most powerful military in the world. It's that you put yourself in danger and escaping, trying to get somewhere else where you're away from the reach of that military and or other parties involved. It's what's going to happen.
You know, we should probably try to interview Snowden and Assange. What do you guys think?
Do you think they would? They wouldn't talk to us.
Well, I know Snowden did an interview recently in April. He did an interview on Vice. So maybe, maybe we could talk to him.
I've seen that one. Yeah.
Let's, hey, Paul, put out some feelers, okay?
Wow, cold-blooded, my friend. Paul's got a lot to do.
No, he's doing it right now. I see him. He's texting.
He's got Assange's pager number.
Mm-hmm. But now it's just going straight to Ecuador. So, yeah, they're in this legal limbo, and we have to start seriously asking ourselves, how long will this house of cards remain stable? Was Julian Assange set to live out the rest of his life within the bounds of the Ecuadorian embassy? Remember, there were police waiting for years just for him to cross the threshold. It was serious. Despite all these overtures and threats and demands from the UK, the US, and Sweden, it seemed that the countries who wanted him on trial or arrested or dead still respected, going back to that magical thinking point, international norms too much to storm the embassy and physically remove Assange, because it would be an act of war.
It would be a bad look.
So his life and freedom were in Ecuador's hands, and this April, that support disappeared. Here's where it gets crazy.
On December the 6th of 2018, Barry Pollack, who is an attorney for Mr. Assange, he said that his client will not be accepting a deal that was at least the talks were happening right then between the UK and Ecuador to allow Julian Assange to be released from the embassy and go about his business. Talks broke down. The agreement was rejected over fears that it could be used as some kind of pretext, at least these are fears on the behalf of Mr. Assange and his attorney, that the agreement itself would be just a pretext, basically, a way to extradite him back to the United States. Because, again, he's in the middle of London. He's in London.
And, yeah, in Ecuador and the UK, their deal hinged on one solid agreement. Ecuador said, well, whatever he's done, right or wrong, be it as it may, we do not support the death penalty, so we cannot agree to put him in your hands unless you can promise us that no matter what happens, he doesn't die, which was clearly not enough.
What is that? It's like a gentleman's agreement, though? Like, I mean, what they demand, some kind of written, like, affidavit? That, I mean, once you hand him over, it's kind of like all bets are off, right?
Yeah. Possession is 9/10 of the law, habeas corpus, and so on. The problem is that it was pretty much a handshake agreement. They may have had – I'm sure they had documentation of it, but no one made a law that's just for this one guy. And his team, one of his lawyers, said that the suggestion that as long as the death penalty is off the table, Mr. Assange need not fear persecution is obviously wrong because, as we know, there are fates worse than death. And arguably, being imprisoned for the rest of your life – whether in a legitimate prison or a more dodgy place like Guantanamo Bay, that's not a life a lot of people want to live.
No, not at all. So then let's go to this year, February 2019. Australia comes out. They say, hey, guys, I just want everyone to know here. Julian Assange, in fact, has a valid passport. It's working. He could use that passport to return to Townsville. Good old Powerpuff Townsville, Australia. He could go there right now if we wanted to send him that way. And the Australian Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade, or DFAT.
Mm-hmm. DFAT. That's its street name. DFAT.
They went ahead and said, yes, we're confirming here that a passport has been approved for Mr. Assange by the government. And this passport was filed for by Mr. Assange in 2018.
So they said, whatever is happening, if he makes it here.
We're just saying he could.
We could let him in. So he does have a passport. And again, passports are requisite for people who are the highest and the lowest. Technically, on paper, everyone has to have a passport and go through customs.
I still find it so incredible how like a document can have such power.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's like he's got a passport. He's good to go.
Bill of Rights. Sorry.
Yeah. I don't know about you guys, but I still get creeped out when I travel internationally because customs can vary widely. The first time I was in England, I had to stop at customs because it wasn't enough that I said, yeah, I have a hotel I'm going to. They were like, all right, we need the address and we need to confirm that that's where you're going to be. The guy was cool about it. He even called me Squire, which was just profoundly endearing. And passports are essentially a way to restrict several things. They're a way to restrict immigration of people that a country finds undesirable. And that could be anything from intelligence agencies to poor people, right? They also function as a way for a country to protect its sovereignty at its borders. And they also function as symbolic statements for how they feel about other countries. You know what I mean? It's surprisingly affordable to buy a passport from a like somewhat sketchy country and still travel with it.
Really?
Yes.
Have you done this?
Well, that's certainly like the whole go bag situation, right? Like if you're trying to escape or you're on the lam and you get some shady person who provides this service to help you out, they either forge a passport or I think more often than not, they will buy a passport from one of these countries where it's a little more easy to come by. Is that right, Ben?
Yeah. You can buy a second passport from various places. The thing is you have to think about how much it'll cost you versus how effective the passport will be, how widely accepted it is. For instance, you can get a very expensive passport or minimum investment kind of loophole in Turkey. For instance, it's $1 million. You invest $1 million in a country, boom, You're Turkish. Congratulations. Help yourself to some cuisine.
Jeez. Some of our delights.
Mm-hmm. And some of those prices go down to $100,000 or even lower. But Julian Assange had his own legitimate Australian passport, not an Ecuadorian citizen. And his Australian passport is no guarantee that he would automatically get accepted, because any transit country he went to could stop him at any point and hand him over. So WikiLeaks got word of ill tidings in April of 2019, and they tweeted on the 5th that a high-level source within the Ecuadorian state had told them Assange would be expelled from the embassy within days or hours.
Wow. Yeah, that changes things a little bit. It's not great news to hear, you know, mm-hmm. especially if he's reading his tweets. No, his communications are cut off. So,
I think they may have been reinstated at that point. I'm not sure.
I was hoping that I could imagine him and a carrier pigeon, like, getting along and it just living in the embassy with his cat. That'd be a fun relationship.
Yeah. That would be – are you pitching a show now?
Yeah, exactly.
That would be a fun relationship. Who can we get to – could Gilbert Gottfried play the cat, or is he more of the pigeon?
Yeah, he's the bird. He's good at birds. Him. Yeah.
So it's weird because shortly thereafter, another Ecuadorian official came forward and said there was no decision made to remove him from the London building. And then on April 11th, they did just that.
Yep.
That is correct. On the 11th of April of this year, 2019, Mr. Assange gets arrested at London's Ecuadorian embassy by Metropolitan Police officers for, quote, failing to surrender to the court. Can we get a quick clip of this pretty monumental encounter?
It'll be brief.
There you go, and you should be able to hear him saying resist and things along that line. Because we are an audio podcast, we would like to draw your attention to Assange's appearance as he got pulled out. As we said at the top of the show, the years in the embassy had not been kind to him. He looks in general kind of disheveled.
A little emaciated too.
Yeah.
Long, kind of weird, stringy hair.
Mm-hmm, ratty beard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you can't blame him because he's living under tremendous stress, right? And that's one thing that was kind of irritating. I get the comedy of it, but so many people spent time just busting on the guy's appearance and roasting him when it's like, hey, there's also a precedent. Should we arrest journalists? Is he a journalist or is he just like a spy master, you know?
Well, both.
And people were like, ha-ha, yeah, but look at his beard though. What's up with his cat? I don't know.
Why is he skateboarding in the halls?
That was a thing. Yes.
Whoa. Bad boy.
He was a bad boy. So what were these international violations? Were they violations of existing laws that he was continuing to engage in? Or were they violations of, again, kind of this gentleman's agreement with the Ecuadorian embassy? We know that WikiLeaks pulled a no you move and they said actually Ecuador is acting illegally because they terminated his asylum in violation of international law.
Ooh, burned.
Right. Okay. You guys really got into that one. So the entire time this is happening, there is a looming figure on the horizon, a figure just over so tall that you can see them over the Atlantic Ocean. Whoa. The silhouette.
Is it Godzilla?
With a top hat. Oh. It's kind of a
Godzilla.
Is it
Mr. Peanut?
It's Uncle Sam.
Ah, him. Yeah.
Who would go toe-to-toe with Godzilla and Mr. Peanut, you know?
Yeah.
Although I feel like Uncle Sam and Mr. Peanut would get along.
I think they would get along, yeah. I think so.
And old Uncle Sam is – he's straddling two giant U.S. aircraft carriers, one foot on each, and he's just surfing across the ocean towards Assange.
That America song from the South Park guys film is playing.
America!
You know the one.
So the U.S. is there. They want a piece. They say, now it's the time to act. So they file a charge against Julian Assange, and they say this guy, we charge him with computer hacking hours after he's arrested in London. Following, first they ask, they're like, oh, hey, all right, guys, chop, chop, tut, tut, tally ho, whatever you say, get this guy to us. And then also, we're charging him with computer hacking. And then they drill down into it. So specifically, they're charging him for agreeing to break a password to a classified government computer.
I love the full name of the charge. It's the most dry toast kind of like charge you can have ever heard of. It's conspiracy to make computer intrusion for agreeing to break a password to a classified U.S. government computer.
Oof.
Yeah.
Poetry.
Sexy.
Sounds dangerous.
So if he gets convicted of this, then he would serve 5 years in prison, assuming that he was not disappeared, which is a possibility. And they say that the password was sought by Chelsea Manning. And Chelsea Manning is a former Army intelligence officer, I'm sure we're all familiar with her, who provided Assange with a trove of these documents that WikiLeaks published in 2010. According to the indictment, the one with the very sexy charge name, this constitutes one of the largest compromises of classified information in the history of the United States.
How embarrassing. That's what Uncle Sam said.
He did. He did say how embarrassing. And then he shotgunned a Bud Light.
And then climbed back on his Clydesdale and rode off into the sunset.
And then, nice. Matt, can you do the first part of that song again?
America!
So I love that. I don't know why I'm so taken with that. But yes, so they say that he was breaking the mores of journalism. He was not being a traditional journalist when he agreed to help Manning crack the password that let her access this stuff.
Ah, but mores are not enforceable by law, my friend, are they? It's just sort of bad form.
Who makes the law? Well, yeah, right. But they said he broke the laws. It's if you're a Glenn Greenwald or another journalist, it's okay to verify and put out stuff that people have given you, but it's not okay for you to help them steal it.
That's
when you're crossing the line,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
And doing something completely different than journalism. That more is a conspiracy or aiding and abetting a felony.
Right?
I think you're right. Yeah, it is technically a conspiracy, isn't it?
So here we are. Mm-hmm. We're 2019. We're present day. We're very close to present
here
day.
Right now. Okay.
We're in the moment, guys.
Right, I'm here.
What the heck is going to happen? He's rearrested. What happens next? We'll find out after a quick word from our sponsor.
Live Nation presents Concert Week.
From now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 summer shows.
That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage,
Alanis Morissette,
Cage the Elephant,
Celeste Barber,
Dierks Bentley,
Janet Jackson,
Meghan Trainor,
Peso Pluma,
Sean Paul,
Sum 41, and many more.
For way less.
Grab your tickets now through May 14th to see all of the artists you love all summer long.
For just $25 each.
Visit LiveNation.com/concertweek to buy now.
That's LiveNation.com/concertweek to buy now.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer? Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Attention, true crime enthusiast. Searching for a way to unwind after diving deep into the mysteries that keep you up at night? Look no further.
Introducing Lazarus Naturals, your trusted companion for CBD relief. With a commitment to transparency, Lazarus Naturals oversees every step from farm to doorstep, ensuring purity and quality you can trust.
Visit LazarusNaturals.com today and discover how CBD can help you decompress and recharge for your next investigation.
That's LazarusNaturals.com.
Lazarus Naturals, your partner in unraveling the mysteries of true crime.
Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Not guilty. Y'all got to feel me. Assange pleads not guilty at the Westminster Magistrates Court, but he is convicted of failing to surrender to police on June 29th, 2012, when they originally came after him. And then he will be sentenced, or he was sentenced in Crown Court, where more serious crimes are heard. And then he'll also face extradition hearings, one on May 2nd, one on June 12th. His lawyers are livid. They're unhappy with this. They say this is a sign of a terrible global trend.
Yeah. Assange's attorney, Jennifer Robinson, who's based in London, was quoted in saying that the arrest, quote, sets a dangerous precedent for all media organizations and journalists. She goes on, since 2010, we've warned that Julian Assange would face extradition to the U.S. for his publishing activities with WikiLeaks. Unfortunately, today, we've been proven right. And then she added that after having just spoken to Assange, that his message to the world was, I told you so. Wow.
Oh, the most endearing of messages.
So endearing.
It's okay. It's okay. Because really, honestly, they did kind of, or they kind of knew this, and Julian Assange was warning for a long period of time, like, they're coming for me. This is happening. Here's why. Let me give you a list. This is what's going to happen. But, you know, it did take, what, almost 7 years?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and normally, I think we can all agree that I told you so is just a super unhelpful thing to say in any personal situation, but we should give him a pass on this one because he did exactly what you're describing, Matt. He did tell us so.
He said so.
So it's true. WikiLeaks knew this was coming and probably knew for a long, long time. The group had repeatedly claimed that the Department of Justice in the U.S. was building a criminal case centered on the leaking of those emails hacked apparently by the Russians in the 2016 campaign. And in February of this year, President Donald Trump's former lawyer, Michael Cohen, who was recently in the press for – and I think recently just agreed to start his jail sentence in New York. He told a congressional hearing that former Trump campaign advisor Roger Stone, who is great television, by the way.
Yes, he is.
Was in contact with Assange before WikiLeaks released all those emails from the DNC in the Clinton campaign. Roger Stone, just for a second, true story, he has a tattoo of Nixon on his back. He's a apparently a wild swinger. Very eccentric character.
You're saying when he plays baseball, he's very erratic? Is that what you mean?
If it's anything like his love life, sure.
Okay.
So for more on that, watch Get Me, Roger Stone. I don't know if it's still on Netflix, but it certainly was a little while ago.
I think Rob over at Behind the Bastards did an episode on him too.
Oh, nice.
You call him Rob?
No, I mean,
Rob.
We'll call him Rob.
I didn't know you guys were tight like that.
That's awesome.
We all call him Mr. Evans.
Yeah.
In person. Right. But Behind the Bastards, great show. Check it out. We'll probably have him on our show in a little while for his newer podcast, It Could Happen Here.
Ooh.
Anyway, Roger Stone. Of course, someone's personal life shouldn't be a basis on which to judge their professional conduct.
But that back tat is weird.
Did you look it up?
I was about to say hella weird, but I got dinged for saying that. But, you know, I knew about it. It's just – I thought it was a joke. Like, I thought someone had Photoshopped that, and then I looked a little deeper into it. Like, no, he totally has Nixon's face tattooed on his back.
Sweet.
Yeah. Isn't that weird? I had one of those – I call them the – Onion double take where you read you read something, you're like, no way, let me check that URL or let me make sure this is not the Onion.
Well, it was the Nixon Presidential Library had this thing where if you got a tattoo, especially a lower back tattoo, you could get into the library for free for the rest of your life. So I think he went for it.
Okay, so he had a reason to do it. So Atlanta is home to a festival called Shaky Knees. And longtime listeners, you may remember that we were excited to go. We kind of made a thing out of it a few years back. Was that 2 years ago?
Yeah, it was a good bill. Yeah. Just wrapped up yesterday for this year.
And they also wrapped up their practice of allowing you to get into the concert, to get into the festival for free for the rest of your life if you got a tattoo.
Yeah.
And I do believe that your wife did that very thing.
Yeah, my wife and her best friend both got them.
It was the last possible moment to do it.
It really was.
So that's pretty clutch.
Yeah, I'm excited. She's going to get to do that every year. And hopefully, Shaky Knees, may you live forever in Atlanta or wherever we end up living in 10 years from now.
Shake those knees. Yeah, that sounds really weird. So here we are, and now we're running into what we could rightly call, and you'll have to edit me here, but I can't think of a better phrase, a cavalcade of f***ery, because everybody is trying to figure out what's going on, who handles what, who gets Assange at the end of the day, what charges in which countries take priority. Sweden is talking about reopening the sexual assault case and so on. And the sexual assault case, the way the law is phrased and what is considered assault does differ from what is how assault is described in the United States. And that leads some of Assange's supporters, who many of whom already believe this is just a pretense to get him to the U.S., that leads his supporters to say that this is a trumped up charge. And speaking of Donald Trump,
his specter looms large.
His specter looms large, yeah. And he said recently, people were, of course, asking the White House about this. And when he was asked by journalists about Assange, President Trump said, "I know nothing about WikiLeaks. It's not my thing."
But in 2016, October 10th specifically, Donald Trump was quoted, and this is right before the election, he was quoted as saying, "I love WikiLeaks," presumably talking about her emails.
Presumably talking about the same organization. Maybe there were two.
But her emails?
Oh, boy.
But I mean,
but her,
anyway, it's interesting. It's at least worth noting that the president of the United States both loves this organization but also knows nothing about it.
It's interesting. It would appear to be a pretty hard contradiction, right?
Yeah.
And again, these are just based on public clips, assuming they're not deep fakes or some kind of digital propaganda.
Job.
Yeah, exactly. Then it appears that he has either forgotten about WikiLeaks or did not understand what he was referring to back in 2016.
Yeah, or it was just so 2016, you know?
I'm trying my level best to be fair about that. I think I'm being more than fair about that. I don't know how you guys feel. He knew.
Yeah. It was such a renowned organization. I mean, especially someone in his position learning all of – I mean, he'd had 2 years roughly to learn all of the security stuff that is happening in the United States. And you have to think that WikiLeaks as an organization is on briefings – maybe not all the time, but as regularly as they publish materials, I'm assuming.
Right. It had, and clearly the U.S. intelligence apparatus wants to shut this guy down, right? You don't want to set a precedent of letting things leak.
Isn't that the problem too? And the thing that's interesting about him and makes him so polarizing is he doesn't really have allegiances that are consistent. He's kind of a loose cannon. Like, you can't really predict whose side is he on exactly.
Assange or Trump?
Assange.
Oh,
yeah. I mean, he's on his own side, or he's on some kind of like the side of like idealistic justice or something. And yet some of the things he does, like with this the Clinton leaks, felt very much like there was an agenda there. Mm-hmm. So it's confusing when you mentioned at the top of the show, Matt, that it's all about intent. That's a completely true. But the problem with a guy like this is who's he beholden to? No one really knows. Or if they do know, they're not telling. He just seems like someone who needs to be neutralized, and everybody wants a piece because everyone has something to lose from him doing what he's doing, kind of, you know?
It's a side conversation, but, you know, I have seen some interesting writings about Hillary Clinton in particular and about the tendency to perhaps want to engage in wars overseas for strategic reasons. And part of, you know, some of the like deeper state behind closed doors kind of discussions that were occurring around that time. I can imagine why a Julian Assange, who, you know, is known for leaking all of this stuff about military engagements, would maybe feel like he's got some kind of personal thing he's got going on there.
I see.
I'm just trying to give that perspective.
Trying to live in their shoes for a second.
Just for a moment.
Just wear their skin for a moment. Nothing creepy.
I just like to wear other people's skin, that's all.
I'm sorry for all of your ears.
What do we say to death, Noel?
So here we are. Julian Assange is currently held at a high security facility called Belmarsh Prison in East London. It's a terrible place. He argued that he should not have to serve time, and he argued it by saying that, you know, I was essentially in prison when I was in the embassy. That did not fly with the court. Vice magazine wants you to know the prison he's in is no Ritz-Carlton. Belmarsh is equipped for 900 inmates at a time. But up to 125 of the two-person cells were often crammed with at least three inmates. Just one in six said they could shower every day. There was a shortage of prison kits being the toiletries and the clothing that you get. So it could have well been a situation where he checks in or he gets processed and they say, hey, man, where are we at with toothbrushing and hygiene? Because you're not going to get one of those till Tuesday. So just
– he's like, but wait, Tuesday –
be aware of your breath.
Jeez. But, I hope they let him shave.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not a nice place. It's crowded. It has some problems. And as we end today's episode, his legal trials are far, far, far from over. Because again, his Uncle Sam astride those aircraft carriers, eating something delicious that's terrible for you, as my new favorite song for this episode plays subtly in the background.
It's got to be fried chicken, right?
And he's saying, get Julian Assange over here. And officials in Sweden, in a less ostentatious manner, are also saying, yeah, well, you know, maybe you can stop over here on the way because we think the guy is a monster.
Yeah, a little prosecution tour.
Mm-hmm. A terrible, terrible tour.
What do you think's next for him, though? I mean, long term. Speaking tours? Book deals?
TED Talks.
TED Talks?
It's a tough call.
Yeah.
It's a tough call.
Or is he going to be canceled?
I don't know. Because still, first off, you have to take any allegation of sexual assault very seriously.
Yes.
Right? And it's a great question, Noel. I don't know what to think. It's tough to predict what will happen, you know? Is he going to be extradited? I would say probably. Depends on how much of time, blood, sweat, and tears the U.S. wants to put into it. And other larger questions still loom. Well, what do you think listening today? Is he a villain? Is he a hero? Is he a pawn in the game of global chess?
Or is he a rook?
Or
perhaps another, you know, chess piece of some kind.
Sure. A bishop?
Yeah, bishop. As the bishop said to the whatever, you know, the old joke.
How's it go?
As an actor said to a bishop. Yeah.
What?
Is that about the shape of the bishop?
Said the actress to the bishop is a colloquial and vulgar British exclamation, offering humor by serving as a punchline that exposes an unintended double entendre.
Oh, okay.
So it is about the bishop.
North America, the equivalent is that's what she said.
Okay. We have one other question that's been lingering in my mind that we found in the course of the research for this, which is the following. Did Pamela Anderson really try to assassinate Julian Assange with a vegan sandwich?
let us know what you think.
Yeah, signs point to maybe. So let's get to the bottom of that one.
Let's get to the bottom of that one. We hope that you enjoyed today's episode. We do have our eye on how this situation will develop. One thing's for sure, while legal limbo may have worked in the Ecuadorian embassy for nearly 7 years, events are probably going to progress at a faster clip from here on out, and it may be that Assange's ultimate fate is decided within the next 12 months. We genuinely do not know.
But we will be watching as you are watching, and we'll have another update if it's, you know, important enough to come along. Maybe we can couch it in another episode or something.
Maybe we can interview him. I don't know.
What was his lawyer's name? Barry Pollack, are you still in contact with Julian Assange? Are you listening to this? Are you Barry Pollack's son or daughter or relative or maybe coworker?
Or any of the above for Jennifer Robinson, Assange's London-based attorney?
Yes. Get right to us. Let us know. You can find us on Instagram, where we're Conspiracy Stuff Show. What are you guys on Instagram?
I'm at Embryonic Insider.
For now, I am at Ben Bolin, and Matt, you're at Sandwich King, right?
Yes, Sandwich Kings with a Z.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right.
Sure, that's me. Yeah. If you don't want to do that, you can find us on Twitter, where we're Conspiracy Stuff, or Facebook, Conspiracy Stuff. You can look at our Facebook page called Here's Where It Gets Crazy.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun conversation and memery and discussions. We have usually have a post for every episode where you can kind of keep the discussion in that field so it doesn't get out of control. Mm-hmm. All you got to do to become a member of that is name one of our names.
Just one?
I think.
Just one. Or just, make us chuckle.
Or, yeah, exactly. We save screenshots of a lot of those. And the good ones are quite good, and you will get in with just a very clever nod.
Yes.
Just mention badgers somewhere.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Oh, yes. And, Matt, what do people do if the social meds are just not for them and it's not their bag of badgers?
Well, put those social meds down because we have something that your phone can do. No, it's not browse the internet. No, it's not post Instagram things.
It can be a dumb phone.
You can literally make a phone call.
What?
To us.
No.
You can leave a message. Give us a call. We are 1-833-STDWYTK.
Have you noticed that it's become an affront to call people? Like, people just are like, they just don't, they're not about it. They're what is this? What is this thing that's happening to my phone right now as it's buzzing?
Yeah.
A number's coming up. Throw it out the window. Kill it with fire.
I have a short list. I have a short list of people for whom I will answer the phone. It's I think it's egregious. I think it's intrusion on privacy. I got in a little bit of tiff with our pals over at the Daily Zeitgeist about it because I told them I thought phone calls were generally overrated. It's 2019. Real friends text. I'll die on this hill.
Well, I won't die on that hill, but I will disagree with you, sir, because that's one of my favorite ways to communicate.
I also like a good phone call catch-up from time to time, but I do not like a quick phone call that could be accomplished with a text.
Got you.
That's all I'm saying.
Understood.
I think it's like a good old friend catch-up, or like that's nice to do over the phone.
Yes.
That personal touch. But if it's a business thing or like a quick thing, I don't like it when you call me.
All right.
Don't call me.
All right. Sorry,
definitely
Noel.
Call our,
sorry,
call our number.
Hey.
Sorry, Paul.
Call our number because we love hearing these amazing messages and we use them in episodes as well.
Yeah. And if you get a weird phone call from a 404 or 770 or 678, depending on which randomized phone number I'm using, it's probably me because I'm calling you back because I really enjoy doing that.
You're also a great person. I just want to go on
record. No, I just don't listen to him. But I really enjoy calling anyone out there who is listening and has like taken the time to leave us a voicemail.
Oh yeah,
it's just really cool to know there are other humans out there and it's not just us in a box.
I'm going to take a page from the book of Matt and maybe I'll call a couple of you too.
Do it.
Matt, you're one of the last great conversationalists, sir. I tip my hat to you.
America!
And if that is your inspiration and you have a story that you feel we, or more importantly, your fellow listeners will immensely enjoy, or just something that they should know, please don't let social media be an obstacle. If you don't care for phones, don't let that be an obstacle. You can contact us directly right now. All you have to do is send us a good old-fashioned email. We are
conspiracy@iheartradio.com.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio's How Stuff Works. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Live Nation presents Concert Week.
From now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 summer shows.
That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage,
Alanis Morissette,
Cage the Elephant,
Celeste Barber,
Dierks Bentley,
Janet Jackson,
Meghan Trainor,
Peso Pluma,
Sean Paul,
Sum 41, and many more.
For way less.
Grab your tickets now through May 14th to see all of the artists you love all summer long.
For just $25 each.
Visit LiveNation.com/concertweek to buy now.
That's LiveNation.com/concertweek to buy now.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Attention, true crime enthusiast. Searching for a way to unwind after diving deep into the mysteries that keep you up at night? Look no further.
Introducing Lazarus Naturals, your trusted companion for CBD relief. With a commitment to transparency, Lazarus Naturals oversees every step from farm to doorstep, ensuring purity and quality you can trust.
Visit LazarusNaturals.com today and discover how CBD can help you decompress and recharge for your next investigation.
That's LazarusNaturals.com.
Lazarus Naturals, your partner in unraveling the mysteries of true crime.
Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.